Hi, and welcome to Cloud Cover. My name's Nick Harris, and today I'm joined by Chris Reisner.
Hello.
Welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Nick.
It's been a while since you've been on the show.
I take a few vacations now and then.
Okay. And two very important guests, Boris Scholl.
Hi.
And Catherine Wang.
Hello.
All right. Catherine and Boris, can you guys tell us a little bit about what team you're from and what you guys do day-to-day here at Microsoft?
Sure. So I'm a lead program manager on the Azure Tools team. And Azure Tools and Visual Studio, we are part of the SDK. And we do pretty much take care of development, everything related to development for Azure services, Azure platform, go through our team. So my team in particular looks after what we call patterns, real-world application patterns and lifecycle. That starts with basically you build a cloud service or you build a website, and then we look after putting the right diagnostics configuration into the system.
Okay.
So that diagnostics is hooked up by default, and we did a show on that one. We also take care of debugging. Recently, we started looking and investigating, okay, what can we actually do in order to improve the developer productivity when it comes to cloud? Think about scenarios. You have an on-prem application. You want to move it into the cloud.
Right.
There are certain differences in the application, the way you need to write the application. So think about session management and all that type of stuff. So we started thinking about that. This is some future work items. The other big aspect, and that's what we are here for today, is really supporting the DevOps scenarios. That basically means, so think about you start or you build an Azure website, or you build a web application, let's say that. And you start developing your web application on your client, developer client. The developer client usually runs IaaS Express and Visual Studio.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But more often than not, you want to test that application in an environment that actually mirrors your production environment. So you want to have full IIS, right? Or you want to publish it out to Azure right away and test it as a website or a cloud service. So we've done some investments in that area, and we continue doing those investments.
Right.
And this is what we are here today to talk
about. And how about yourself, Catherine?
So I'm a program manager on Azure Tools team. I work for Boris.
Okay. Short and succinct. All right, so what are we going to see today? Shall we jump in?
Yeah. Let's assume I'm a developer and I want to create a new web application. So going to ASP.NET web application. And the first thing that you may notice is that in the lower right corner, we now have a section where we ask you whether you want to host the web application in the cloud or not.
Okay.
The notion behind that idea is really, okay, we know you want to develop a web application. And as the cloud is really great for dev test scenarios, we want to offer you the ability to publish it into the cloud, to set up everything for you right away, and then you can just publish into it.
Okay.
So if I go to that drop-down box, you can see website and virtual machine.
Right.
What that actually means is if I select website, it will create a Azure website for me based on input parameters.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk through that in a second.
Okay.
For if I select virtual machine, it would actually go and provision a virtual machine based on the inputs.
Now, this is pretty new, the virtual machine option there specifically. We've always been able to publish through right-click, publish on a website to a website, but now we've got virtual machines integrated directly into the tooling to make that experience
sort
of quick and easy.
And we take it one step further, as you will see. Let's go through the website options because like the experience is pretty much equivalent to the virtual machine one.
Okay.
And I'm going to show the virtual machine one later.
Okay. Great.
So let's go through the website one. Doing okay. So I get a name suggestion for my website. I can select my subscription. Let's choose this one here. Can select the region. That's basically standard for creating a website.
Mm-hmm.
Right. One thing to point out is I already signed into Visual Studio here.
Okay.
And we've done some work in the past. So we really know that you're signed into Azure and we know your subscription.
Right.
So once you sign into Azure once, you're always connected. I think that's a good one. So hitting OK. What's happening now in the background is we're going to reach out. We create the Azure website in Azure, obviously.
Yep.
And we also take it one step further because we actually, once the website is created, we add PowerShell scripts to that project. Those PowerShell scripts are great if you want to think about automation, which is, I think, a very common pattern. You're not always using Visual Studio to get your latest build out, right? You're not always using Visual Studio to provision your target environment, your destination environment.
Right.
You really want to automate those type of steps.
Okay.
So what we've done here is we actually added the PowerShell scripts that enable developers to do exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
As we can see down here, well, let's make that a little bigger. So this is the status for creating the website. The website has been created, and now we added the PowerShell scripts.
Okay.
So those PowerShell scripts are actually very useful in a bunch of occasions. So first of all, it's not just, you know, if you're familiar with PowerShell, really creating a website is just one line of PowerShell. What we thought is, okay, because we also target enterprises and we wanted to make it as real as possible, we actually wrote the script in a real world manner. So that script takes parameters, it has error handling in there, it has tracing, logging information, and all that type of stuff that you need in a real world scenario.
Okay.
So while that might look a little bit overwhelming when you look at the script the first time, this is really meant to be used right out of the gate because we hooked everything on.
So some of the scenarios would be, you know, provisioning an environment as basically as a stamp, so you want a staging or QA environment.
So on that note, if you we also have, those are the scripts. So here the publish web application website script basically contains all the parameters and the functions to create a website and then to publish into the website.
Okay, great.
Referring to environments like dev, tests, and things, we parameterized it. So if you look at the JSON file, we actually have the environment settings in here.
Okay.
So let's say this is my dev JSON file.
Yep.
If I wanted to have a test environment, I could actually just go in here, change the settings, add a database server, and do that type of stuff, and then run the script again with the new parameters file.
Right.
And it would provision the new environment.
Yep.
So this is really taking our new notion of config as code, right?
Yep.
Because you can check those scripts and you can customize them and you can make them part of a custom build definition.
Okay.
And this is exactly what Catherine's going to show now.
Okay.
So think about, we created this. One thing probably to point out here as well is if I want to go in here and publish, everything's wired up.
Yep.
So think about what we've done so far. We created a new web application. We created a target environment, the Azure website. We generated the scripts for you that you can reuse.
Yep.
And we also wired everything up. So it's really great from a flow perspective.
Yep.
That's what we think.
Yeah, the entire experience is contained within your IDE.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so someone is used to like making a new website and pushing it, or you know, wanting to have somebody else check it out and say, "Hey, does this look good?" Like, this is great because you know, a couple more clicks than just new project, and I'm pushing it out to Azure where I can just say, "Here's the URL." It's great.
Yes. So, as mentioned, now a next step would be, because the scripts, as I mentioned before, they just publish, right? I would need to create my web deploy package, and then as a parameter, I would say, hey, script, here's the web deploy package, here's your parameters file, go and take it.
Okay.
Catherine's done a great job in building out the build step.
Mm-hmm.
So what she's going to show you now is how to add a custom build step to that script. And then you can really take that script as a standalone, and I can just hand it to you, right? And the script will basically build the web deploy package, provision the environment, and publish it out. And that's what Catherine's going to show now.
Sounds awesome.
So I'm going to show how to add MS Build support to this PowerShell script, and later how to integrate this PowerShell script to Visual Studio Online.
Okay.
Firstly, as you see, I have all the scripts here. I can right-click on the PowerShell script, and I have this Open with PowerShell ISE option.
Okay.
Sure. And next, just to save the time here, I have all the scripts prepared. So I can just copy and paste all the functions.
Okay, and these scripts you're going to pull in are for the stuff Boris was referring to about building with MS or web deploy or something like that?
Right. Okay. So for the following functions, I'm going to add into the PowerShell script. Okay. What they do is they grab the project file and they build the web deploy package for the project file so you can deploy it to the website.
Okay.
So the first thing is I'll have to add the project file parameter to build. And next, I will add the guide-ms build command helper function.
What's this helper function do?
This helper function returns the path to ms build utility on the local system. And next, I will replace the new web deploy package function placeholder with a real function.
Because as you can see, we put like placeholders for unit tests and web deploy into the default scripts.
Okay. My vote is to just replace the placeholders with this code for the next SDK drop, so I don't have to figure it out.
Well, we want to do Visual Studio do the build right now.
Okay. Right,
so, but
yes. So the last step is just to invoke the function in the script.
Okay.
And by the way, guys, this is all documented.
Yep.
So you don't
need to. We'll provide a link to the documentation down beneath the video.
Okay.
Yes. Actually, I can show you later. Okay. These steps are all in the GitHub online function from the PowerShell script.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay.
And now I'm ready to execute the script. But before that, I want to edit the home page of the website a little bit, so later we can see the MS Build support actually worked.
Okay.
I'll save the file. And I have to connect the PowerShell IIC with Azure account.
Okay.
So I'll log in first.
And if you were opening Visual Studio for the first time and wanted to connect your Azure account, this is kind of a similar step you'd take, but you'd already done that earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we switched, I think, two releases ago from a cert-based to an OAuth way. Now you just need to sign in.
Perfect.
Yeah, I prefer this way.
Definitely.
It's nice.
Okay.
Okay.
And now I can invoke the script. The configuration is the JSON file.
Okay. The one that was generated by the file new project experience?
Right.
Okay.
The JSON parameter file Boris talked about earlier. Okay.
So explain to us what's happening here.
Right now, the script is building this project, so we can obtain a web deploy package.
Right.
And now, as we see, it finished the build successfully, and it is checking if the environment exists already. And because earlier we created the project, so the website environment already exists.
Mm-hmm.
And now it learns the information for the website environment and it's deploying the web deploy package onto that website.
Okay. So basically it's your script now encapsulates the manual process of, you know, building a website, then publishing it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Excellent.
Okay. So it's successful here. And if we go to the website,
it's actually pretty cool, right? Yeah. Because if you think about it, with a couple steps and adjustments, yeah. you have a fully automated like yeah. deployment and yeah. published story for your website. Mm-hmm. And again, we do the same for virtual machines as well.
Yeah. Sure. So if we go back to the QA dev scenario, that was the dev JSON config. Mm-hmm. If we had a QA config checked in, we'd just execute that one line of PowerShell, and it would go out and push that update. Mm-hmm. Cool. But I think you're going to show us how to mm-hmm. do that in an automated continuous deployment fashion.
Yes, I will show it
Very
later.
Cool.
So just for everyone's reference, yep. MS Build Support.
Okay.
So it worked.
There we go. Awesome.
No.
Okay, so we're in VSO now, or?
Yes. Okay. So next we'll see how to integrate this PowerShell script to Visual Studio Online.
Okay.
So firstly, I have a Visual Studio Online account set up already. So I will create a new team project here. It's creating.
Okay, so what are you doing here in Team Explorer now that we've got the VSO repo created?
Right, so I am trying to connect Visual Studio to the VSO online account right. and the project I just created.
Okay.
So I'll go here. And select Team Projects.
Okay.
Okay, so now after connecting to the server, I can see the project I just created from the Visual Studio Online portal. I select it and click Connect here.
Okay.
It's actually this project, so I'll click connect.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And firstly, I want to check in all the project files to that repository. So I can right click on the solution and add a solution to source control, select the team foundation version control and mm-hmm. click OK. And accept all the default. Click mm-hmm. OK here. And now if I go to the pending changes, I see all the files I just added.
Right.
So I can enter a comment here, first check in, and click check in.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I wonder how many mm-hmm. people put in first check in.
Yeah. You meant to write comments on
default,
check-in.
Right?
Should make that default. Yeah.
That'd be good. There we go.
Okay.
So, right, so it's now committed up to your VSO repository.
Right.
All of your code, all of your scripts, all of your config.
Yes, everything here under the solution.
Okay.
So next, I will modify the PowerShell script a little bit to fit into the Visual Studio Online environment.
Okay.
Again, I'll open the PowerShell script. And I have prepared some code I have to add in for the Visual Studio Online.
Okay.
So firstly, I have to add these two parameters to specify the publish settings file
okay.
path and also the PowerShell module file path.
Okay. And
next, I will add this line to import the publish settings file.
Okay. So that's when when it's building in VSO and going to deploy, it can find your publish settings file?
Exactly.
Okay.
And also, this line would specify the PowerShell module file path.
Okay.
And finish everything here.
Okay, so a few small tweaks for getting the build up and running on VSO.
Yes.
Okay.
A few lines. And the next, I just have to check in my publish settings file. So this file has all the credentials for Visual Studio Online to learn my Azure subscription so it can deploy the project to Azure.
Okay. And you can download this from the portal?
Yes.
Okay.
I can put it anywhere, but just for convenience, I will put it under the Publish Scripts folder.
Okay.
Now if I go to Source Explorer, the publish settings file and click finish.
Okay.
And now go to the pending changes and check in my code. So subscription file and modified PowerShell script.
You would usually check just in. Do second check in there, right?
Yeah,
you know, just a running tally.
Yeah, I just use digits rather than and text. There we go.
So we have all the files checked in. Next is we have to define a build process definition. So the Visual Studio Online server knows to run the build and run the PowerShell script.
Okay.
So I can create a new build definition here. And go to process.
So what are these templates?
These are different build definition templates. Basically, each template defines a series of activities the builder server would follow.
Right.
So in this case, I want to choose the TFVC template 12.xaml file.
And what is that template?
This template, basically, it enables me to specify the basic MS build activities on the server, and in addition to that, it provides me options to specify pre-build or post-build scripts.
So what's the difference between the one you chose and another one, for example? Like, why is it specifically this one?
Just because this one provides a very convenient way for me to specify the PowerShell script to run after building the project.
Okay. Also, there is a default one for Azure deployment, right? The way you can think about why you want to use this one along with the scripts. So if you have in your script certain steps to like pre-reg something on your VM or like hook something up, for example, identity and stuff like that, everything that's out of the ordinary, you would probably use the scripts along with that.
Okay, so firstly, I will choose the project file to build. Move this one. Okay.
Okay, so that was your web project.
Yes, this is the project file for my web project.
And the dollar there means relative to the root of that of that particular repository?
Like right.
The, okay, so you're referencing really the project file in its checked in location.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And in this case, I want the MS build argument to be rebuild and a package, so okay. It would generate a web deployment package.
Right. Okay.
And I can select the post build script path. That okay. would be my PowerShell script.
Okay. The ones you just edited before?
Yes.
Okay.
And I need to use TFS environment variables to specify the post build script arguments.
Okay.
So I'll first go to the source settings and see where my project would be mapped on the TFS build server.
Right.
So I see it's under the root directory plus my project name.
Okay.
So in this case,
handy little snippet.
Yes. I will have to edit the snippet to a little bit to okay. match the folder path here.
Okay.
You gotta think about it as a one-time yeah. setup, right?
Yeah.
Once it's done.
Yeah. Once it's done, you just can yep. go off and build as frequently yep. as you want.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, it's certainly a very powerful, you know, thing that Catherine's showing here. Very useful for, you know, big dev teams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not the standard one-man teams that Chris and I, where we just deploy from Visual Studio and we're done.
No, I also think it demonstrates very well how, like, the tools for a single developer phase into like an overall team development scenario,
yeah. mm-hmm.
like how everything comes together there.
So. Yeah. Is the 4566 the right zip name? Just out of interest, I don't. Or are you?
Yes, thanks for catching that.
That's okay.
It should be the project name.
Okay. Could you spend a minute mm-hmm. and just take us through what these parameters are and the variables that you're using for TF build source directory and those types of things, just so people understand.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So the publish settings file is yep. one parameter we added to the PowerShell script yep. here. What this parameter is for, it tells Visual Studio Online all the credentials it needs yep. to deploy the web deploy package okay. to the Azure account.
All right.
And the next one is configuration file. So we also want to specify the path of the configuration file on TFS
right.
build server.
Okay.
Next one, web deploy package. So this would be the location for the generated web deploy package.
Okay.
Because we didn't specify any particular MS build arguments, so right. all the names would just be default.
Okay.
And the module file path, so our PowerShell script
yep.
it imports a PSM1 module file for the helper functions.
Okay.
And if you run the PowerShell script locally, it can find this module file because they are in the same folder.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Visual Studio Online environment,
right,
it has to know the path to this file.
Okay, excellent. Mm-hmm.
And now I can I can paste all the arguments to the build process definition.
Mm-hmm.
And save it.
Do you need the quotes around it still? That were at the end? Yeah, I assume so. These things?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And I have all the everything here.
Very long.
Yes. Just a quick scan through.
Okay.
Okay.
Excellent. And that's your build definition done?
Yes.
Okay.
And if I change the home page, checking the changes.
Yep. Okay.
And then now I go back to the build page and queue new build.
Okay.
So just wait for the build to finish here.
So that's executing your PowerShell script, parameterized. It's going to build the web deploy package and publish that change which you just checked in to your website.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
Almost seems too easy.
So while that thing is building,
mm-hmm,
we're going to switch back because I briefly want to talk about virtual machine creation, having a virtual machine as your test environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to focus on debugging because we've got a lot of requests from people who wanted to know how to set up debugging in a team environment.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with an application again, web application. I'm going to hit new. This time I'm going to choose virtual machine. And the reason why I bring that up is there is something unique what we do here. So let's choose a new subscription. Let's take this one and call it. And grab a virtual machine. So this one here is really what I want to point out, enable IaaS and web deploy.
Okay.
So if you think about the stock images that are in the Azure Gallery by default, there is most of those images have no IIS installed,
right?
Right? So you would need to provision the image, go in there and configure it,
right?
And none of them have web deploy installed.
Right.
But as I mentioned, we're like optimized for a dev test scenario. We build an extension, which is a new concept in Azure. We were actually their guinea pigs with remote debugging and that web deploy.
Okay.
So we build an extension. And what we do here is, by having that checked, is we go out, we provision the virtual machine of that image. Then once the virtual machine has been provisioned, we actually make a call to Azure and say, hey, please take that extension, apply the extension.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then the extension gets applied to the virtual machine.
Mm-hmm.
We run a bunch of code that actually configures IIS, also who puts web deploy on it, and then adds the firewall ports and everything so that Visual Studio can communicate with it.
Yeah. Okay. So saving. I don't know how long that generally takes, an hour of work or more,
I mean,
I'd imagine.
If you've ever configured IIS, right, for web development, it's always like, okay, what else do I need, right?
Yeah.
If you go into the add roles and features,
yeah.
Do I have everything? So we take care of that.
Okay.
And then if I'm going to hit okay, what's happening is exactly the same as I showed before for websites.
Right.
We're going to go out, provision the machine, and we add the scripts to it.
Okay.
So from the script perspective, it's exactly identical to what Catherine has showed you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So while this is creating, because that takes a while, let's go switch over to Server Explorer, because I already created a virtual mm-hmm. machine.
Mm-hmm.
Usually takes a longer time to pull in all those NuGet packages, right? So okay, and maybe I should point out, we have also a nice status here. It says what is it doing, right? It's creating the cloud service and going through all the steps, so you know where you're at. So assuming that virtual machine has been fully provisioned and I published my application to it.
All right.
Remember, everything is hooked up by default.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And now my application doesn't work. Right. Mm-hmm. Next logical step is really debugging.
Okay.
And we've shown that actually at the build keynote, how remote mm-hmm. debugging works. I just want to show it again, because I like it so much. So here I'm authenticated, fetching my virtual machines.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I created this one here. Let's see, should be the one. And then I have the enable debugging option here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Once I hit enable debugging, it follows exactly the same concept as the web deploy and IIS extension. So we're gonna go out there, we have the remote debugger,
right.
Our debugging package is a slightly modified MSVS mon.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually MSVS mon along with another component we wrote.
Okay.
It reaches out there, it applies the extension to your machine,
mm-hmm.
and then we add the firewall ports so that Visual Studio can communicate.
Okay. Great.
So the thing is, why a lot of people are asking, how does that work in a team environment? We cannot just like put an extension out there and have Visual Studio communicate with the virtual machine through basic authentication.
Yeah.
So the communication between the debugger and the debuggee is cert-based.
Okay.
And this is what you need to consider if you want to enable it in a team environment. So going back to switching projects slightly, that's one project that Catherine created here. And what we've done in that project is we have the PowerShell scripts.
Right.
And now the following steps would need to happen if you want to enable it in a team environment.
Okay.
So you can either modify that script here to enable remote debugging. Let's go scroll down. It's all the way here. So this is actually the script. So you can also think about, you publish to Azure.
Right.
You're not in, you don't make that part of your build step. But you can write a PowerShell snippet that does exactly that.
Okay.
So prerequisites, what you would need to do is, you would need to create a certificate.
Mm-hmm.
You would need to export that certificate. And then you would need to get this thumbprint of that certificate.
Okay.
That exported certificate, let's say the four of us are in a team.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Catherine would create a certificate. And mm-hmm. Catherine's going to share the cert with you, myself, and you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you guys import the cert.
All right.
And then the script that we would need to use, or that we are using, actually has the client thumbprint in here.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of that script is really applying an extension. So if you look through it, it's basically getting the certs and everything set up.
Yep.
And then it applies the debugger extension to the virtual machine.
Right.
This is really the magic step. Is creating that certificate, mm-hmm. sharing. We recommend you create a debugger certificate mm-hmm. and share it with your team.
All right.
Every developer who wants to access the virtual machine and debug it should import that certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And then the magic thing really is that you put the thumbprint in your PowerShell script.
Okay.
We also gonna publish, I think we already done like the PowerShell script to show you how to do this for virtual machines as well as for cloud services.
Mm-hmm.
There is no need to do that for websites, because websites work slightly different. It's a shared environment, so you can just access it pretty much from anywhere,
okay.
right? But for cloud services and virtual machines, we have published it. So just to prove that it works, this is Catherine's VM here. And I basically have a copy, or I'm enlisted, we're enlisted in the same Team Foundation Services repository.
Okay.
I have the latest version on my machine with the scripts and everything, and that's the code Catherine wrote.
All right.
And so if I go to that website, and this is Catherine's simple calculator, right? Okay. I'm going to do 2 plus 2. Try to add, and I'm gonna get 6, right? So clearly something's wrong.
Okay, I thought that was right. Okay. It must be missing something.
Yeah. Okay. So Catherine's not around. Let's pretend Catherine is not around. I'm sitting in my dark office without a window and trying to figure out what's going on with that website. Yeah. So I can actually go back to Visual Studio now. This is the virtual machine, and if I right click on it, you see I don't have enabled debugging anymore because through that extension or through that PowerShell script that enables the extension, debugging is already enabled on our machine.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All I need to do now is I need to go in here, say attach debugger. And the first indication that everything is set up correctly is it brings back the processes from that virtual machine.
Okay.
So one thing to point out while we're on that, with the 2.3 release.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, with SDK 2.3, I was a little bit confused about the numbers right now.
Okay.
We also introduced not only .NET debugging, but also managed debugging.
Okay.
Sorry, managed debugging is .NET debugging, but also native and interop.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We got that request quite a lot for cloud services, because there is a bunch of cloud services out there that do GPU rendering on worker roles, right?
Okay.
So basically, you can enable that. And then we also list all the processes on a VM. And here, because it's a website, I know I want to attach to W3WP, because that's my web process. Mm-hmm. Attach to it, put Visual Studio in a debug mode. And then let's see if my symbols are loaded. Symbols seem to be loaded. And I'm going to have a word on symbols in a second. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to go in here and try it again. 2 times 2, hit add, and then I'm going to end up in Visual Studio. And then I can basically step through just as I would do. Hate this keyboard. Two plus two, add. And then I can just step through it.
Okay.
And I get everything I need. And then
Here
I would actually have figured out what's going on. Right, so, but you get the idea, right?
Yeah.
It's very powerful in a team environment.
Yep.
Keep in mind, creating a certificate, sharing the certificate with your developers, getting a thumbprint of that certificate, and putting it in your PowerShell script. So one word, if because we've shown you basically a TFS integration.
Right.
So for TFS on-prem, you would probably use a symbol server.
Right.
If you're using Visual Studio Online, there is no symbol server as of now, right?
There's a few public ones though, right?
Yeah. So, but the thing is, you would need your symbols need to match the build, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we would need to do is basically pull down a build drop from your build server, and then grab the symbols from there.
Okay.
Put the symbols on a network share or somewhere else, and then load the symbols for debugging.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's all I had on the debugging part. But just to recap, I think what we were trying to show today is right off the start, we have a dev test scenario in mind, right? We not only create the website or virtual machine for you, we also give you scripts. And then if you take it further, let's say you start as a single developer and now you go into a team development scenario, I think we have a fluent support and story for that.
Yeah.
Right? And then if something's not working as expected, we have a great debugging story as well across all containers.
Yeah.
So I think we should just look at Catherine's output now.
Yeah.
Because
so what are we seeing here now?
So the build finished running and we see the result succeeded.
Yep. Okay.
And if we go back to the website,
moment of truth.
Yes. Okay.
Wow.
Excellent. We have some support.
Check this out.
Cool.
Excellent. So that, I guess that's it. So we've seen quite a few things here. We've seen the new File New Project experience now supports both provisioning those resources for websites and virtual machines. We've seen the new PowerShell scripts that allow you to go off and basically deploy that asset to that slot. What else did you show? The
MS
customization?
MS Build support, yes.
MS Build support and build and deployment of that using a build definition in VSO.
Yes.
And Boris's remote debugging there of VMs, websites, anything really, but VMs in this case.
In a team environment.
In a team environment, the most important bit.
Definitely.
there's no I in team.
Nope.
Okay, so some very cool stuff. We'll put the links to the MSDN documentation that talk through the stuff that Catherine showed and also the stuff that you've shown here. Mm-hmm. Boris, if people do need to ask you guys questions, do you have like a Twitter handle or an email address that people can reach out to you on?
Sure, I have a Twitter.
Okay, you do this.
Yes, it's CATH Cloud Tools. That is my Twitter name.
Okay. And Boris?
I have an email address, which is basically bscholl@microsoft.com.
Okay.
And more than happy to get like feedback on tools or if you have any suggestions and I think you're missing out on something or you think we're doing great, then just let us know.
Yeah, excellent. Do take that opportunity to provide feedback to Boris. It can help him set sort of direction for things that happen in the future.
Yep.
So thanks very much for watching.